All right, good morning. Welcome into the show on this Almost Friday. We're going to rename Thursdays Almost Fridays. We're getting close. We're almost there. We're excited. We're fired up. And we've got a great 2 hours planned for you. We're at the halfway point, more or less, in the NFL season. We've got some teams, think the Patriots, think the Colts, think some others, who have surprised. And we're going to talk about which of those teams are full of you-know-what and which maybe are going to prove to doubters like me and maybe like you that they are legit. Would You Rather is coming up later in the show. Brady Bapinga will be on the program. J.J. McCarthy, kind of like Batman, has an alter ego we will talk about. Lincoln Riley might be on the hot seat at USC. Should be. And if these other dudes can be fired and given $100 million to go away, 50, 70, why not good old Lincoln Riley? We'll talk about that conundrum for the Trojans later in the program. If you want to add your voice to the show, if you want to be on the program, we have a phone number for that. It is free, toll-free, 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Ryan Hickey's the executive producer extraordinaire. He is great at his job, even if I pretend for the next 2 hours he's not. This is the nice part. He is great at his job. Ryan underscore Hickey in the number 3. Wearing an Olympic outfit today. He thinks he's a gymnast. I'm on there at SportsWriter. Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. LeBron James needs to put down his Letterman's jacket. Awkwardly leave the prom that he shouldn't be at because he graduated a few years ago. And walk the route of Michael Jordan. It's time. Certainly it's time in Los Angeles. Far be it for me to retire a grown man. If LeBron wants to play and be problematic and not be the player that he used to be, if he wants to Willie Mays his way through the end of his career, he can do that. He shouldn't do it under the dazzling lights in the purple and gold of the Los Angeles Lakers. It's time. And the clarity with which this has come, the certainty with which it's time for him to move on, the obviousness with which it would be in LeBron's best interest. I am a guy here just looking out for LeBron James. The people around him aren't going to do it. Adam Mendelsohn, his handler, is not going to do it. Rich Paul's not going to do it. The people that make millions of dollars being in his orbit aren't going to tell LeBron that he's no longer a star. Think about this. What are you if you orbit a superstar? Not a star. You're something else. If that star dims to the point that it doesn't radiate that light, what do those folks lose? They lose their world. They lose their money. They lose their influence. So LeBron James, I know we've had ups and downs. Had some bad moments in Miami where I was honest about you. Had some good moments later. We hung out in Akron and you were in a football costume and I looked like a hobbit standing next to you. That photo still, look, I know I'm not tall, but I look 3'11 in that photo. It's a big dude. We had a nice little moment where I got to sit down at a TV interview with you and you wrote nice things about me on Twitter. And then you weren't so nice on Twitter about 6 months ago. I get it. But I like LeBron James. I'm not anti-LeBron. I am the thing to LeBron that very few people are, and certainly nobody, including me, that he listens to. He doesn't listen to me. I'm honest. And the honesty is that in the Lakers' excellent beginning this year, in their 7-2 record, as LeBron sits out with an injury he's probably a little more than halfway through his timeout. He's probably going to miss the first 15 games. In the sight of Bronny James getting a handful of minutes a game and still not being up to the task, in the sight of Luka Doncic being this side of Victor Wembanyama, who the Lakers beat last night, maybe the most remarkable basketball player early in this season, it is clear, it is starkly clear, that LeBron should stop being a Los Angeles Laker. It's time to say goodbye. It's okay to leave. And you don't get to choose, usually, your goodbyes. Not if you hang on until you're 41 in December is the age for LeBron James. I've compared him to Aaron Rodgers before, and I think there's some similarities. And people hate both these guys, often hate them for things that have nothing to do with the sports they play. They're both all-time greats, different levels. I think, just me, I personally think LeBron's the second best player of all time, and maybe the best. I go back and forth on this. Aaron Rodgers isn't that level, right? But he's the fourth or fifth or sixth best QB of all time. But both guys have pushed back against time. Both guys are competitors whose competitive spirit certainly flirts with, maybe crosses over into arrogance. Both of these guys are learning that even if you have something to give, you don't get to choose your goodbye when you can't give what made you one of the greatest of all time at your position. Aaron Rodgers is not a Packer because the Packers didn't want him. That is a fact, whatever he's doing with the Steelers. Aaron Rodgers, try this sentence on, is not a New York Jet because the Jets didn't want him. I know I'm not supposed to make fun of ugly people because maybe I am ugly people, but it's one thing to get dumped. It's another thing to get dumped by somebody who's really ugly. I mean, let's just be fair. It's one thing for the Packers to break up at the end and go, all right, you're going to. It's another thing for the Jets. You're breaking up with me. You're the New York Jets. Yeah, I need you to get lost. You're Aaron Glenn. It's over. What is happening here? That's coming for LeBron James. He's always been able to choose. And the Lakers are going to choose that he go somewhere else. So LeBron, go to L.A. You're not a part of their plans. And say to them, trade deadline's in February. I have no trade clause. I'm one of the few guys that has it. Send me somewhere else. Let's figure this out. Let me go elsewhere. Or if his salary makes that difficult or impossible based on where he wants to go, just announces his last year in L.A., he's loved it here, he's going to be a bench player, role player, starter, whatever they need, except it's Luka Doncic's team. He's not going to do this, by the way. This is like me giving Aaron Rodgers the advice, maybe you should be nicer to people. Maybe you shouldn't throw your GMs in Green Bay under the bus if we could go back in time. LeBron James has, I think, had the sort of paradox, the catch-22 is the right word, of coming to L.A., I'm about to make everybody mad, being a better basketball player than Kobe Bryant. He's a better basketball player than Kobe Bryant and never has been accepted as even remotely Kobe-like in Los Angeles. It's one of these weird, for a guy that craves and needs the respect of other people, he went to the one place where he'd never be anointed the most respected and craved player in the history of the organization. It's probably part of the reason he acts like a petulant person sometimes. But the area where he is like Kobe, the great irony of this, and this is part of their makeup. It's part of what made Kobe remarkable and makes LeBron remarkable. I don't like this about athletes per se, but and I'm not an athlete, but I certainly have this in my own personality. So I'm a hypocrite. I understand that some of the greatness of some of these guys is that they're bleep holes a little bit. That they believe in themselves more than anybody else on the face of the earth. That the idea of criticism, even when it's warranted, is just the background music to their success. It's the soundtrack of their goat lives, and the rest of us are idiots playing instruments that don't matter and only celebrate them. Even if the instrument is me saying with my little keyboard or my microphone, LeBron, you're not that good anymore. Stop acting like a jerk. Kobe couldn't do it. Kobe brought down the Lakers for 2 years. Pay me a bunch of money. I'm going to rain on the parade of these young guys. They're going to go spread across the league because they can't play with me and do great things elsewhere. And people in L.A. embraced it. Yeah, Kobe, you're great. 60 points. I was at that game, last game. Difference is there was no replacement for Kobe Bryant. LeBron James wasn't on that team at the time. There wasn't somebody who, as much as Kobe was beloved or successful, and he was both, Lakers fans go, yeah, you were great, but that's the guy. LeBron doesn't have that benefit. He's got Kobe's stubbornness. He's got Kobe's, I can do whatever I want because I'm LeBron. If you let LeBron play till he's 60 and he scored 4 points a game, maybe, he'd still think he's LeBron James. That's how these guys are built. But there is a Luka Doncic on the team. They are 7-2 without LeBron James. It is, in fact, a fact, and it was a fact for Kobe Bryant. It was a fact for a lot of guys that have played in the NBA and other leagues that LeBron James is a great teammate when he's the guy. It's the Frank Sinatra model. Back in the day, you got to be in the Rat Pack as long as you understood that Frank was the guy. Dean Martin could be there as long as he knows he's number two. But LeBron isn't LeBron of 5 years ago anymore. And Luka is. Luka Doncic, last night, in that win, by the way, against a really good Spurs team, told you, 35 points, 9 rebounds, 13 assists, and that's a disappointing game. The guy's averaging 40, 11, and 9.2 this year. This side of Victor Wembanyama, Luka Doncic, I know it's only 10 games into the season, is the MVP to this point of the season. Hell, maybe over Wemby. And the thing is, this isn't some statistical anomaly. This isn't some flash in the pan. Breaking news, Luka's really, really good. And Luka also, in a basketball sense, needs the ball in his hands, is a high usage rate guy, will dribble the clock down a lot. He'll create for guys and he'll make you better, but he is not someone who operates well with another player who requires the ball all the time. Part of the reason Anthony Davis would have actually been a great teammate for Luka. The irony is they should trade LeBron for Luka. Because even though LeBron can facilitate, he likes to have the ball in his hands. He likes to shoot. He likes to score. And I'm telling you, like Kobe, like Aaron Rodgers, the older LeBron gets, he's there. The less effective he gets, he's there. The more he slides from being a top five player to a top 20 player, right? Really good, but LeBron can't accept it. He's there. The more LeBron's going to try to prove it wrong, try to shoot more, have the ball more often, get his stats up. I can remember covering LeBron all the way back in Miami. And I hadn't covered LeBron day-to-day until he was a member of the Miami Heat, and I had moved to that city on no notice, and I was sitting at that arena, and I don't know how early it was in my coverage, a week or two or three, I can't remember. It was certainly before the new year. And I remember looking, because I would watch LeBron, right? My job really wasn't to cover the Heat back then for FoxSports.com. My job was largely to cover LeBron James, and I was, checks notes, very critical. So you want to get stuff right. So I would watch LeBron, and I remember he would look up at the scoreboard and stare at it. And I would go, does he not know the score? I'm sure he knows the score, right? And just, you can, it's because he had to crane his neck. I'm like, you can get the score looking easier angles. And then he would pass on like a clear open layup and kick the ball out to someone. And I finally figured it out. He would be at, whatever, 25 points, 11 rebounds, and he'd be at 8 assists. He would look at those stats and know how close he was to a triple-double. He would change his game. If the game was already decided, more or less, so he could get the stats. LeBron was obsessed with his image back then. With the numbers, with the idea of LeBron, of what it looked like, of being successful. He was already taking for granted winning. Now it was about padding the LeBron moments. Russell Westbrook, before what Russell Westbrook was chasing that stuff, the year that he won an MVP. That is going to come out. That happened in part because LeBron was insecure in that first Miami year. Was hated for the first time. Didn't understand what it was like not to be celebrated. That is going to happen in a different way when he returns from injury in a week or two. Because it's not going to be his team. Because his son isn't good enough to play in the NBA. And because Luka Doncic and he are not best friends. And because Luka is one of the few players on the face of the earth who both doesn't need him and is better than him when he doesn't need him. I mean, there have been guys who have played with LeBron who have gone, whatever, man, this guy's a lot. I know I've talked to some of them off the record. But those guys were never able to be better than LeBron. It's not a shot at LeBron. LeBron's almost 41 years old. When New Year hits, he'll be 41 a day. He's an old man who's not good enough, and he's not built because of his personality, the way that he's constructed his pursuit of greatness to be humble enough and able enough to be the number two, to come off the bench. Tim Duncan could do it. Did it. Spurs won a championship, won another one because of that. Kobe Bryant couldn't do it. Lakers gave up 2 years and a lot of money to Kobe because that's who Kobe was. Does that make Duncan better than Kobe? No, I think they're very similar in the rankings. It just makes them different stars. People pursue greatness in totally different ways. Totally different ways. LeBron's pursuit of greatness makes him a perfectly poor fit in Los Angeles. So here's my advice, big guy. It's not your team anymore. They haven't wanted you for a while, but they held on because they needed you. But the 7-2 Los Angeles Lakers, who will build the future around Luka Doncic, who have Austin Reeves, who, by the way, isn't playing right now, but has been awesome when he's played, don't need you, don't want you, and don't care about you the way that you want to be cared about. Go to the Warriors and play with Steph. Works for me. Go to Cleveland if they'll have you. It's an if, by the way. They built something there. And be in the place that you actually love. And by the way, the place that actually loves you back. Go back to my initial analogy about ugly people breaking up with other people. Cleveland loves you for you, man. What's that stupid song, She Likes Me for Me? That's Cleveland toward you, LeBron. Go somewhere else. LeBron's need and desire is to have his ego stroked every day, to score 27 meaningless points, to go increasingly 9 of 25 and be told how he's amazing. Go play for some crappy team somewhere. I don't care. Go play for the Bulls or something, although they are doing pretty well. Go do your thing. But LeBron James, last night's win for the Lakers without you over the Spurs. Last night's continuation of Luka Doncic being not just one of the best players in the game, but one of the best players in the game, whether you step foot on the floor with him or not. Remember, Doncic last carried a team to the finals, not LeBron. And the reality that this city will never love you the way you want to be loved because you're not Kobe Bryant, even though you're the better player. LeBron James, you are the guy, I actually saw this when I was in high school, at the prom, 2 years after he graduated, not realizing that A, you don't belong there, B, everybody resents you, C, they think you're a loser, and D, no one wears varsity Letterman coats anymore. I get over it. It's time to move on. I say this out of, if not love, certainly respect and a lot of time together. LeBron James. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. And I'm not saying this because I happen to, turns out, live close to Luka Doncic. Everybody sees Luka but me. I saw Luka 3 days ago. Cool, man. Not me. Although, I don't know. What do I do? Hey, Luka, it's Bill Ryder with the radio show. Do you want to be best friends? No. Don't do it. I'm already working on Vince Vaughn. All right. I digress. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. If you know where you want LeBron to go, I think just go to Golden State, maybe Cleveland. I'll take a suggestion. 888-710-4ISN. If you want to help me place LeBron somewhere else, right? A little act of respect for LeBron by, you know, aren't there groups that help the elderly, like, find new homes? We can do that together. 888-710 with LeBron. 888-710-4ISN. Or on the X, Sports Writer Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. We can help the old guy. And then we'll talk some NFL and which teams that are doing it need to still prove it next year on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
You think they're a better team than Texas? I think Texas is a higher ceiling.
I think they're a better team than Texas.
Nobody's better than Ryan Hickey. Look at that. Let's close it there. Let's close with a lie.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Oh, see, now I said I was going to be nice and then mean, and you went to the Wayback Machine.
The Wayback of 24 hours ago.
Billy Bones Jones has a suggestion for LeBron. It's also not nice. I know where you can send LeBron. Oh, that's hopeful, right? Oh, it's a little help. Let's help the elderly. Home to watch the games on his couch. That's pretty funny. Look, I'm not retiring Russell Westbrook. Although he actually played well the other night. But I'm not retiring Russ. But I'm not going to pretend Russell Westbrook is the level of player that erroneously won an MVP many years ago, right? I'm not saying, Russ, you have to stop playing basketball. I'm just saying stop playing basketball for teams that actually want to win. That's all I'm saying. Same thing for LeBron. You don't have to go to the couch. Although, I enjoyed the Michael Jordan interview. Why not have LeBron? Man, the only thing is, once LeBron retires, his need to be in the spotlight. I don't want to get into this Jordan LeBron thing, but clearly Michael Jordan does not need to be at the center of attention since he's been a borderline recluse for 20 years. How much is LeBron going to be just, is it going to get to the point where LeBron's on, you know, Big Brother, Big Sister, whatever that show is on CBS? That show still exists? Never seen a minute of it.
It does exist. And maybe he could be next year's contestant.
Survivor. Does that still show on? Just gets kicked off first.
Love Survivor.
Never seen that either.
It's on last night. He would not do well at Survivor. He actually have to survive. He would not do that.
Right. And people have to like you.
Right. Also true. He would not do well.
Yeah. Zach no longer in Cali. I think Kat for LBJ makes sense. Would almost guarantee the Knicks a spot in the finals. And Kat would provide the size the Lakers desperately need. That's actually really interesting. I'm not a big Cat guy, although I do think that Karl Anthony Towns is a poor man's version of Kevin Durant. Bear with me here. I think Durant is the single, with all respect to Pippen, I think KD is the greatest player in the history of the NBA to be the second best player on championship teams. He's never been the best player on a championship team, and please spare me the two finals MVPs that Steph Curry gifted him through a variety of reasons. Cat's not that level. I get it, but I'm very Cat skeptic. I think Cat can be the second best player in a championship team. I just don't think it's on a team with Jalen Brunson where defense is a big part of it. You have to hustle. But he and Luke, man, that's not a lot of D, though. Anyway, I kind of like it. The thing about LeBron going to the Knicks or a team like that is he has to be, if LeBron is willing to grind it out for 25 minutes a game as the second to fifth option offensively and really focus defensively, which he can still do at his age, sure. I'm kind of skeptical LeBron's willing to be a number two, let alone a number three and a half, right? Whatever the number is. That's why the Cavs make me nervous for him. If he goes to the Cavs, it can't be Donovan Mitchell. It's got to be this is Don's team, and I'll be over here helping. He's gonna be doing the things that keep bringing this up because it's a really good example. Tim Duncan did at the end of his run. Wasn't the Finals MVP the last couple championships? Did not top 30 minutes per game the last 2 years. was not a consistent force and therefore wasn't the go-to guy. Kawhi Leonard was the youngest at the time, finals MVP in history when the Spurs won that last title. Tony Parker won, I think, the one before that, and Tony Parker was the best player in that regular season. So at best, Tim Duncan was the third most important guy. But in the playoffs, there were several occasions where he won them games. And he was critical in moments. LeBron can do that if he's willing to do that. Kobe couldn't do it, so I'm a little skeptical. Where would you send him, Ryan? You're good at your job. You're not bad at your job. What are you talking about, Higgy?
The Warriors are really interesting. I mean, it depends what, like, to your, like, I think, yeah.
Yeah, what are you willing to do? And B.
Like, the Timberwolves, I think, would be an interesting kind of fit alongside Anthony Edwards. But to your point, I think at this point, I don't think he's willing to...
Yeah, that's the problem.
...to go somewhere where he's going to not be number one and have to, you know, placate to a different star, which makes, you know, obviously his stay in L.A. for this season especially ironic and interesting. So that's, like, even if he leaves, like...
All right, I got an idea.
Ooh.
I'm going to blow your mind.
Okay, blow it.
A multitude of first-round picks... Maybe Austin Reeves and LeBron James for Giannis Antetokounmpo. He gets to be the guy. People in Milwaukee get to see LeBron while they rebuild. I don't think Giannis is going to stay in Milwaukee. I've been saying that for a minute. I think the Bucks window has closed. Doc sends shivers down my spine as a coach. Just, you know, I'm not sure he's the guy. Mind blown.
It's interesting. And I guess the question, like, I guess you can't, like, you have to pick a lane. I don't know which lane he's going to pick. The question is, would he go to a team, like you said, the Bucks? Their window is closed, and they're not going to be very good.
Okay, but, so mind not blown. Unblown.
No, but the thing I was just going to say is that he would get what he wants in terms of being the number one star. Like, everything would revolve around LeBron.
The problem is Milwaukee, right, as a city. And I like Milwaukee, but LeBron's probably, yeah, they would be bad.
Do you think that bridge is totally burned in Miami?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
They don't like him. And I think Pat Riley would have gotten past that if LeBron were still worth it, but he's not. He's not.
And do you think...
And LeBron does have a no-trade clause, so it's you know, the Milwaukee idea, as I think about it, is a tough sell.
What do you think he prefers to... play at a competitive level for the rest of his career, and that could mean taking a back seat to a star, or finish, or still having the world revolve around him, which means going to a worse team.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's revolve around him. But I also think, again, it's not a criticism of him. It's part of his makeup that made him remarkable. Why did Tiger Woods limp onto the golf course for so long after it was stopped? It was embarrassing. Because he thought he could do it, right? Because his whole life, people said, he can't do that, and he did it. And for the rare people who succeed at that level, they just start to disbelieve any criticism. Oh, this is the haters. Because there's a lot of them out there. But you can't beat age. You just can't. Age is not the same thing as some debonair 35-year-old sports writer from Iowa who arrives in Miami with criticism. I went debonair.
Very fancy of you. Look at you.
50% chance I know what it's what it means. I certainly am not debonair. Yeah, I think he's locked into thinking he is the way that he is. I think the places he'd be willing to play if I had to guess are Cleveland and our Golden State. And then would he be willing to go somewhere that can win a title to ring collect? And I think the problem for LeBron, again, this is where he's more like Kobe, is that by the time, maybe now, that he accepts, oh, I need to go to the, I'm making this up, the Thunder, they don't need him, they don't want him, right? LeBron's expiration date has probably passed in terms of certainty that he's going to be helpful. Now it's a risk. Now part of it is you're selling tickets. Part of it is whenever he announces he's retiring, you get the goodbye thing, and you get to sell put a bunch of butts in a bunch of seats. And the other thing about LeBron is we've had these conversations about who should go where, what do you do in the end of a career. Joe Montana. Niner in everyone's mind. Ended his career in Kansas City. Kobe almost went somewhere else. Didn't at the end. But LeBron, unlike Kobe, unlike even Montana to a degree, unlike Brady, who I know was a buck at the end, LeBron has bounced around. And I'm not taking shots. People do. I'm not. It just means that there's no inherent loyalty that he has. There's also no inherent loyalty that anyone has to him. When you're a mercenary, the people that hire you don't love you back. That's just the way that works. Nothing wrong with being a mercenary. But the Lakers don't love LeBron. They'll give him a statue. They gave Kareem a statue, and they hated Kareem. I mean, it's a comp. Jerry West did not get treated well by the Buss family for the last 15 years of his career. He's the reason that Kobe Bryant was a Laker. So it's, right, the fans loving you is not the same thing as the organization loving you. All right. Did not get to NFL talk like I planned. I like your sweater. It's very, you have American flag with the Olympics on it. Can I offer a singular criticism of the sweater?
Please do.
You're supposed to have 50 stars on the American flag. It looks like you've got somewhere in the neighborhood of 11.
Yes, that is correct. The shirt's not that big. The flag, then, by extension, is not that big. I just don't think there's enough room to fit 50 stars.
Because I looked at it and I thought, okay, that could be the flag from the founding day, you know, maybe at some point when there were only not as many states in the Union, but I'm pretty sure the Olympics didn't exist then in the current state.
There are 13 stars on the flag, which obviously 13 count is, but correct. I don't think in 1776 they had the Olympic Games going on because of probably not enough countries.
Internet was too slow.
The word didn't travel. U.S. wasn't eligible.
Yeah, U.S. wasn't eligible. Those redcoats wouldn't let us in. All right, we have very much digressed. End of the show, we'll get to some of these NFL teams that look like they're contenders, but I think still have to prove that they're not pretenders. That is coming up at the end of the program. We're going to do a great, because the producer of the show is great, Would You Rather? Oh, yeah. After a sports flash from Pete McCarthy.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
I bet the hard-hitting football action is even better with Prize Picks. Download Prize Picks and use code PRIMETIME and get $50 bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Cowboys defensive end Marshawn Kneeland died at 24 years old this morning, according to the Cowboys. The team did not disclose any details of how Kneeland died. Nealon just scored a touchdown on Monday night, recovering a blocked punt in the end zone. Nealon's agent, Jonathan Pursley, said of Nealon, quote, "Marshawn poured his heart into every snap, every practice, and every moment on the field. To lose someone with his talent, spirit, and goodness is a pain I can hardly put into words," end quote. Miami Heat coach Eric Spoelstra's home was heavily damaged in a fire this morning. There were no immediate reports of injuries, according to the Associated Press. Spoelstra was not home at the time of the fire. He and the Heat were returning from Denver after last night's game against the Nuggets. Thursday night football features the 7-2 Broncos hosting the Raiders. The Broncos have won 6 in a row. I'm Pete McCarthy.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Did talk about what it was like yesterday in Oklahoma City with the banner going up and that championship being celebrated as well as deserved to be so. I'm going to lean into making fun of me for the rejoins. I just said, as well, it was deserved to be so. I don't even know what that means. You should cut that and then play it with a void of silence.
That leaves a void of silence.
I just toed that thing.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, welcome back into the show. In just a minute, not just yet, we're going to get to Would You Rather. We have a very good Would You Rather question that we're going to sneak in there from Zach no longer in Cali. Kevin Folatar with a callback. Do you understand, Ryan Hickey, the term callback? It's a movie reference term, sort of. So I understand if you don't.
I did not know it was a movie reference term, but yes, callback. Going, you know, calling back something that happened or said in the past.
So I guess it happens a lot in scripts, right? You know, in whatever. Nobody wants this. Something happens in episode 2, then episode 5, they make a reference to it. It's a callback.
Oh, okay. So it's a movie jargon. Got it. Okay.
I think so. That's how I understand it. That's how I process it. Okay. Kevin Folatar has a callback for the show. You ready?
Ready.
Sports writer, it's been like 2 years, Bill. Might be time to give up on becoming BFFs with Vince Vaughn. Or double down and get super stalkerish. Maybe go to a good lawyer also if you're taking route number 2. I actually saw him the other day, briefly. But I was moving, he was moving, didn't feel like the right moment to become best friends.
I'll say this. Number 1, never give up on a dream.
Okay.
Number 2, you can't force being best friends. It's going to happen naturally.
Yeah.
I don't think the stalker out it, like, no one is ever going to say, oh, I met my best friend. How'd you meet him? Oh, he was stalking me for months. And I said, you know what? I like this guy.
Hey, Vince, how's your hamburger? I'm Bill.
I saw you last week cutting the grass. How was it? What kind of mower you got?
I will say this, just not to get a little weird, but Henry, my son, I got to be careful here with the information, is thinking about joining a new activity, right? There's lots of activities in the world for dudes. A new activity. And we've been scouting where we would do the activity. And we found a place that we think would be good for the activity. And a friend of ours, this is true, she goes, oh, yeah, that's a great place for that activity. We have friends who have gone there. I'm like, oh, cool. And then she says, and Vince Vaughn is there all the time. But I told Lori, I'm out on the decision making. You're going to have to figure out the spot for the activity, because now that you've told me this, that is the place. You know what? You do you. But I'll take it.
The universe works, right, in funny ways right. Sometimes. Maybe this is the universe pushing you two together. All of a sudden, his activity bleeds into your activity. Now, all of a sudden, you guys are commiserating about the same thing. Maybe you both have a passion for it. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're bonding over that activity. And now you guys are best friends like 5 years from now.
Might be time to get an attorney. Is it too aggressive to aim for best friends plus one and just throw Luca in the mix? Because he just moved into the neighborhood. Is Luca married or is he lonely? What if he's bopping around my part of L.A. just lonely?
Look, that's a lifestyle where you got a lot of time off. You know, if you got three days in between games, what are you going to do? Talk to someone?
So here's something I didn't know existed. I'm looking up if he's married. When I was young, you got a fiance, and he is not lonely. He's doing good. Okay. But let me go back.
Male companionship outside of basketball. 100%.
Have you seen the movie I Love You, Man?
I have.
20 years ago. Right? All right. Here's a phenomenon that I didn't really believe in. Have you ever heard of the phenomenon, once I got married, then beautiful women would talk to me more openly, right? Oh, your wife's so nice. Beautiful women claim that often they're lonely and no one asks them out because they're so intimidated.
I buy that.
Do you buy it?
I do buy
it. Man, and love you, Lori, but she's not listening. I don't mind being humiliated. I've looked at the radio show. I would, if I had known that when I was 17 years old, you know what I'm saying? Hi, do you want to go out? No. Do you want to go out? No. Do you want to go out? It's not baseball. I'll go 1 for 137. I just didn't know. They were lonely.
So you think the same thing happens and applies with superstars? Everyone looks at Luca. I'm too intimidated to say hi. So he has no friends outside of the basketball team and his fiance.
Right.
And maybe just on a Wednesday night looking to kick it when he has no game.
Right. A buddy of mine saw him at the grocery store. You know, like, hey, man, Luca, what's up, bro? Can you pass me that bread? You all right, man? Feeling lonely? Want to get beer?
It's not weird at all.
Hey, you want to try to become best friends with me and Vince Vaughn? Do you know Vince? Hanging out? All right.
It will be a lot easier if you're friends with one of the two already to be friends with the third.
By the way, the backstory to this, I probably should tell this, is several years ago I played tennis with a guy who really wanted to be best friends with me because he listened to, I think the radio show was when I was in L.A. And it got kind of weird. I was like, yeah, no, I'm good, man. We should hang out. And then he dropped, I'm really good friends with Vince Vaughn. And you should come hang out with us. But at that point, I just didn't believe him. But it turned out it was true. So I might have missed my chance.
But there's the example of the stalker out not working. Don't do it.
Didn't work. Also, if you want to be friends with me that badly, there's no chance you're friends with Vince Vaughn.
Bye.
Yeah, it is. Wrong segment. Let's do Would You Rather.
It's time for Would You Rather on Writer Than You.
You know what, Bill? Let's do a callback to yesterday's show.
Okay.
This is inspired by Tom Brady. Would you rather clone your dog or clone yourself? Let's say you have a dog.
I'm my cat.
Clone your cat or clone yourself.
I mean, get with the program.
I know you don't have a dog, but in this case, Tom Brady cloned his dog. Maybe we can envision in this fantasy world you have a dog.
My dog, my cat, I'm not going to clone myself. That's so weird. That's not me. It's not me. When I die, that's a different, Billy Boy running around. That guy would become best friends with Vince Vaughn, and then I'd hate my own clone out of pure jealousy.
But I guess in this world, right, that we're living in, if you clone yourself, you can have clone Bill. I don't know what you would call him, if you want to call him CB, whatever. Yeah. Do all the activities you don't want to do.
The dose.
So you don't want to go food shopping? All right, clone Bill, go food shopping.
No.
You don't want to go, you know, to a parent-teacher conference? All right, clone Bill, go to the parent-teacher conference.
Aren't you a little worried your clone would try to kill you and take your life?
I wouldn't, yeah. I wouldn't clone myself. But I'm just trying to play
devil's
advocate.
Why are you trying to talk me into it?
Because I'm trying to play devil's advocate. It would make your life a little easier. But then, of course, like in every horror movie that happens.
It's a horror film. Hey, can you take Henry to soccer? Sure. And I'll take you to the graveyard. Yeah. I mean, right? Like, oh, no.
Then he thinks he's Henry's dad, not you. Right. And
the dose is evil. All right, I got a that's a weird one. I've got a would you rather from Zach, no longer in Cali.
Okay.
In 2025, would you rather be a teammate of LeBron James or a player for Bill Belichick?
Wow. Great question. UNC's turning it around a little bit too.
Right? Just play Syracuse every week.
I mean, the recipe.
Recipe for success.
Wow, that's interesting. I will say, you know what? I would say I'd rather. Oh man, do you have an answer? I'm trying to stall.
My first instinct was LeBron, but then I'm like, you know, LeBron's only going to get worse and worse as a situation, and Belichick has the potential to get better. And if it doesn't work out, am I going to enjoy watching? What will I enjoy more, watching Bronny flail or watching Jordan Hudson be Jordan Hudson? I think it's Jordan Hudson. Like, it's just a secondary benefit. Just the car crash effect. I'm going to say, I'm going to go Bill Belichick. Final answer. Phone a friend. Hello, it's the dose. Hey, what do you think? I will murder you. Okay, click. It's a callback. Talk to me.
I will say, because I was going to say, it'd be cool to say you play LeBron James, but also be cool to say you played under Bill Belichick. I'll go LeBron James. Okay. I'll throw myself in that orbit, probably regret it. Maybe I'll just pretend I'm Luka Doncic, be a superstar, and I'm so good I can ignore LeBron and maybe even get one over on him, if you will.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Bill Belichick would be Ryan Hickey agnostic and call your Rex and not know your name.
Yes.
And LeBron James would hate you.
Well, what's the... Okay.
That's where I'm going.
And you're probably right, but what's then the point of playing for a guy who, like, okay, I play for Bill Belichick, but he doesn't know who I am. What's the point of that? The guy couldn't pick me out of a lineup.
These are the decisions you have to make.
I'll take LeBron James. Make. Okay. Okay. Maybe I can get some funny stories out of it and tell my kids about it one day. Would you rather, this maybe leads us into this question, would you rather, Bill, be the best player on a terrible team or the worst contributor on a great team?
Okay, so I would rather be the worst player on a successful team, and I can speak to this in my own life because I was on a tennis team where we were really good. Well, I was just the best player on a team that made a run, too. I'm on a real bad tennis team right now. Well, the best thing is the combo. I just had the combo. But I'd rather be the contributor on a really good team because I did that for a few years and it made me a better player. I competed against guys who are better than me. When I played, it did well. But we won, like the matches were meaningful. It's sort of empty to go win matches and then have all of your teammates just lose and hate everybody and hate each other and hate themselves.
That's fair. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Would you rather, Bill?
What an answer for the ages, yeah.
If you had to choose a different profession, be an actor or musician, this is another callback. You said you love to pursue an acting career without dreams.
Yeah. Actor or musician?
Actor or musician would you rather be?
Sorry, I was researching Lucas' private life so we can be friends. Not creepy at all.
Writing down some notes.
Yeah, I was Googling some things.
Hey, Lucas, I love this kind of beer. I love it too. So weird. You're one of your best friends?
So weird. I also love Eastern Europe. You've been there? No.
The Slovenian beer, you can only get there. It's so good, right? More people need to have it here.
Actor or musician's hard. Do I learn to sing in this scenario if I choose singer?
No.
I get to... Oh, no.
There's no musical. It's one or the other.
But if I choose I want to be a musician, I don't suddenly become a good at it. I just have, I do it badly.
No. That's like...
Oh, I can... You can the skills
be good.
Come
you
can with
be good.
It.
Yes, yes. Okay. You can be good at both. You could be a Leo if you want to choose actor. You could be, you know, got whatever.
Because the Writer of the Musical hasn't happened yet, but it's obviously a dream. I'm still going to go actor.
Wow.
Because I told you yesterday that And you looked at me like I was crazy. I said, should we have just moved to L.A. to become actors when we were younger? Is that the move I should have made? And I think you were skeptical that I would have made it. And I was totally convinced I would be, you know, less successful Steve Buscemi.
I was just more shocked that, like, that was, like, even, like, a dream of yours. I can't see you, like, pretending to be somebody else.
Yeah, that's fair. But, I mean, maybe I don't know, you know, just be me. Some guys are just themselves, and that's the acting.
That's okay. Yeah, I guess you're right about that.
It's bad acting, but okay, it's okay.
I guess if you're a superstar like The Rock, you can kind of be yourself, and that's the character.
How did he become a superstar?
Great question. Yeah. Well, WWE, I guess, right? More led into the acting. I don't know.
No, I get it. I just, good for that guy.
Just be big. Just be jacked. Just be built like a boulder, okay. And I think you'd be okay.
I'm going to do what I can to work on that plan as well.
Big weekend in college football, Bill, for two of your favorite teams. Iowa hosts number 9, Oregon. Mizzou hosts number 3, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Would you rather see Iowa or Missouri win?
That's a good question, because I went to Mizzou. I didn't go to Iowa.
But your family is Iowa fans, so.
I know, yeah. It's a real.
Grew up in Iowa.
I did grow up in Iowa.
Different connections there to the Hawkeyes. They have a blackout for what it matters. They're going blackout on Saturday.
I'd rather see Iowa win. I don't know what that says about me.
Really?
So when I worked at the Kansas City Star, I covered Mizzou athletics for a while, and it's a different group. It's not, but they were awful to me. They were awful people to deal with. They were awful to everybody. They were the worst, and that like sticks with you, you know. I haven't had the misfortune of being around Kirk Ferentz. Not sure I'd feel differently if I had to cover that guy every day, but I don't.
Okay.
Maybe it's not fair, but that's how I feel.
Would you rather be...
would you rather be anywhere else on Earth, Ryan? Yes.
Would you rather have Tua or Kyler Murray as your quarterback for the next 5 years?
Oh, easily Kyler Murray. Easily Kyler Murray. I mean, I'm going to fail, but at least I'm going to win 7 games sometimes instead of 3. Is this a question for you?
No, I would take Kyler too, but I mean, it's kind of damned if, I mean, also as a quarterback that you're not even sure if he's going to be able to set the playbook.
Would you rather have Tua or Daniel Jones for the next 5 years?
You know what? I'll take Daniel Jones.
Wow! Okay.
I don't trust either, but at least I'm seeing success with Daniel Jones right now.
You put Tua on that team though, that offensive line, that running game.
Maybe. Also the health question. I mean, they're both, I guess, fair. Have health fair. Concerns. I'll take Daniel Jones, maybe prisoner of the moment, sue me. I'll take DJ over Tua.
Okay. Is that it? That's a segment?
That's where we're going to end it.
We're out of time.
We're out of time.
You know what? No, those are great questions. And they deserve great answers. I did the best I could. A person who never fails on great answers is Brady Papinka. And our Super Bowl championship winning friend joins me next year on Righter Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you on this Thursday. Thank you so much for hanging out. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. Remember, the free Odyssey app is always a way and a place you can get this program, all the programs on the Infinity Sports Network, all of the programming that Odyssey offers across the country. You can find the podcast there. There's a rewind button. It is a great source if you are looking to listen to this or other shows. Phone number, again, 888-710-4ISN. The old sports media or sports handle is Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R, Sports Media. What's he talking about? We don't know. Buy or sell's coming up in about 15 or 20 minutes. We'll talk about some of these NFL teams at the end of the show who have surprised and gotten out to a really good start. In fact, I'll hit some of this with Brady Papinka. What we make of teams that we maybe didn't see coming. I say we didn't see coming. There's a very good chance Brady Papinka saw it coming because he's an incredibly smart dude. 8-year NFL linebacker. As I have mentioned before, won a Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers. Played at BYU on Twitter at Brady Papinka. This guy is bilingual. Speaks fluent Spanish. Has called the Super Bowl in Espanol in the past. I will spare you my attempts to speak Spanish with him because I'm very, very bad at it, and we're going to visit with him in just a few seconds. And one of the things I want to hit Brady on is At what point do you start to believe what you see? At what point do you look at the Patriots or the Colts and you say, okay, I guess that's who they are? And we're going to get an answer right now. Good morning, Mr. Papinga. Hola, mi amigo. That's all I got in Spanish.
Hola, buenos dias.
¿Cómo estás?
How you doing, Big Billy? Always good to jump on, my man.
Good, buddy. Good to hear your voice. Thanks for making time. So I believe, and if I'm misquoting you to you, Brady Papinga, forgive me. I believe you're the person that has said several times, and I've really been interested in this, that Bill Parcells was wrong, that people are not necessarily what their record says they are. In that context, what do you think the Patriots are this year? What do you think the Colts are this year?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Patriots are still kind of in a rebuilding phase. You know, you got Mike Vrabel in there. He's implementing his own, scheme and structure, those kinds of things. And it usually takes at least a good, you know, sometimes things could skyrocket out of the gates. It usually takes longer than a year just because of culture rebuilding. You know, and Bill Belichick, one of my good, just so you know, I have some inside information here. One of my good buddies, Sione Takitaki, played for the Patriots last year, helped me understand a little bit about kind of their culture. You know, this was when Jared Mayo was head coach. And the Bill Belichick culture was still very prevalent. It was like a big, dark cloud in the sense, you know, not in a negative way, but just kind of like, you know, it's ominous sitting there. Like, this is how we should do it because we won so many Super Bowls. And it really took, and I think it was a big reason why Jared Mayo struggled in kind of rebuilding things, is it was like they were trying to move away from that, you know, and it's hard to move away from something that's worked so well for so long. And so I would imagine with Mike Vrabel, he's in that same thing, you know, same phase. So I think they're going to continue to have surprising games, but I don't believe it's like, hey, they're contenders like they used to be with Brady. But Drake May, their whole, like, situation there is really trending in the right direction. And I mean, I'd say in a couple of years, maybe next year, they're in that conversation. But for right now, they're doing a good job at developing and then having these moments where they have big games. Well, they're pretty good, you know, but I don't believe in a playoff scenario against the Bills, the Chiefs, you know, that they're going to really be able to take them down as of yet. I don't think they have it, the culture and the experience yet to pull that off.
It's a great answer. Brady Papinga here on the show. And how about the similarly, the exact same, actually, 7-2, at least record-wise, Indianapolis Colts? Are they a team that you have any faith in when we get to playoff games against, as you noted, teams like the Bills, teams like the Chiefs, those sorts of challenges?
No, and it's kind of the same thing. You know, Daniel Jones, I don't think he's ever played in a playoff game. And the playoffs are a completely different environment than the regular season, the pressure, the excitement. I mean, I remember walking out of my first playoff game, oh man, when was this? Back in 2007, I think. And I was against the Seattle Seahawks. And it was like, when people talk to the old cliche of the energy and palpable in the air, like, until you experience that, you don't realize how literal that is. I mean, it was like you're walking in, you know, when you open up the door to a steam room and you can feel the steam kind of engulf you as you enter into the steam room?
Yeah, I love steam rooms. That's, yes, I went in yesterday. Yeah, I do know.
Yeah, that's how it felt. But as soon as you came out of the locker room, out of the tunnel, it was like, oh, this energy that engulfed you, and it's like, this is different. We're in a whole new level. And when you're playing, the best place to be if you haven't been there already, and to even understand it, you can't really describe it to somebody. And for that reason, again, like, I don't have the confidence to tell you, Bill, and your national radio audience that, yeah, the Colts are going to be really big-time contenders. When you have all these other factors that they have no idea of what they're going to have to deal with when it comes to playoff time. And so, yeah, I think they're a good story. They're going to make some noise. They're going to surprise some people. But when it gets to that time where you have the Chiefs, the Bills, and the two big-time elite teams in the NFC, you got to face them in that playoff scenario, win or go home. I just don't have the confidence to say that they're going to be able to beat those teams.
I do have confidence in Brady Papinga, and he is here on the show right now and on X at Brady Papinga. Brady, the Packers are interesting, and they were my pick. Not that that matters, but whatever. They were my pick to come out of the NFC this year. Wins against the Lions, the Commanders, the Steelers. Losses to the Panthers and Browns. A tie to the Cowboys sure feels like a loss. 5-2-1, what do you make of their season and what feels like some inconsistencies this year?
Yeah, and their inconsistencies have to do with the number one challenge in life, but most specifically in professional sports or sports in general, and that is dealing with success. Everybody talks about dealing with adversity. Guess what? That pales. Dealing with adversity pales in comparison to dealing with success. Success can be the most toxic illusion that there is in the world because you think you're better than you are, and you think that maybe, just maybe, you don't have to go through the right channels and principles to win games. And you know what? I see that percolating with these Packers every so often. Like when they're playing the Dallas Cowboys defensively, I thought their scheme was horrendous, meaning they lined up Micah Parsons at the same spot on the same place. And yeah, as an offensive line, that's pretty easy. You're just going to say, hey, that's our guy that we're really scared of. Let's just, you know, dedicate more blockers to that guy. Okay, great. Then he's pretty much neutralized, right? Now they've started to move him around and those kinds of things. And then this last game, you know, they're playing a team that they feel like they could just run the ball down their throats with, the Carolina Panthers, and they get stubborn in the red zone. And they just think that, hey, we're going to hand the ball off to our backs, let them run straight ahead in the defense, and you know what? We're going to pop through a couple touchdowns. And they didn't do it. It's like, no, when you get down there, and if you're not able to pound the ball in, and LaFleur knows this, he's a creative offensive mind. You got to use misdirection. You got to use some of, you know, these, what they call the illusion of complexity plays, which this is what they do. But no, he just kept it. It was almost like I said, this illusion that, hey, we're just going to run these guys over. And so that's their challenge, is dealing with success. You know, I don't know if you knew, after like the first game or second game of the season, they were talking about running the table, like being the first 17-0 team. I'm like, oh my God. Like, yeah, this team's really lost their way here. So, yeah, with the Packers, they're good. They're an elite team. As long as they can stay in the present moment and continue to hit the principles. But as soon as they start getting distracted with their success, not a good team. And we saw that last Sunday.
I am Bill Ryder. This is the Infinity Sports Network, and I need a Brady Papingo wellness check at sort of halfway point, Brady, of the Chicago Bears, of Ben Johnson, ooh, of Caleb Williams. Where's your head at on those three things?
I could tell in your tone of your voice, Bill, that you're really excited about what I'm going to say. And you're just holding it back. We all finally see it. We finally see some little flashes here of what should be with Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson. And this is and look, they got a tough team. I've always been a fan of Caleb Williams, his talents, his physical abilities are as good as I've ever seen it. I've seen Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre up close, played against those guys thousands upon thousands upon thousands of plays in practice. Okay, I played against those two quarterbacks more than any quarterbacks in my history. And he's just as good in terms of raw talent. And so here you have a coach that's now finally able to kind of corral it. Because the one weakness of his, though, is he's so talented. And this happens with a lot of uber-talented people. Is they get so reliant on their talent, they stop worrying about actually, like, strategy. They just think, hey, I can fit balls into tight windows. I can run around for 30 seconds and throw the ball up with my strong arm and make plays. No. It's NFL. It's too many good athletes, too many good players, too many good schemes. And so now he's learning with the help of Ben that you got to, you know, Ben Johnson, coach, you got to be able to play within the scheme. You got to have your talent. Basically, it's got to be calculated. And it's all starting to kind of click. And so I look at them as an emerging team, as a team that's going to be right up there with the top teams in the NFC North. That NFC North division, man, is just loaded.
Wow. Can we just take a moment, breathe it in, get a little emotional here? Let's go.
Are you tearing up on me? Are you?
A little.
I could sense it. Yeah, you need a little tissue there. Finally, right? Oh, man, you Bears fans. Now, it hasn't been as bad as the Jets, but the Bears fans have been through a lot.
I'm trying hard not to swear because that's not allowed here on the Infinity Sports Network out of pure joy. All right. Well, let's lean into some more positivity. Let's do it for you. You're a big BYU guy. You called even last year sort of their ability to be at a level where they could compete. They did for a big stretch of the season. Huge game this weekend against Texas Tech. Huge game. It's on the road. But if they win that game, right, TCU, Cincinnati, UCF, I mean, those are winnable games. What's how much will you let your love for that program allow you to believe that there's a ceiling here that is pretty exciting?
I've always been close to the program, and I've been an embedded coach. You know, I kind of look at myself as a glorified consultant in some ways. You know, I send in scouting reports because they let me have access to all their practice film and everything. So I know them about as good as anybody. And they're a good team. You know, and then studying Texas Tech obviously is a really good team. But it's funny is the two contrasting styles. BYU is a methodical, execution based success team, whereas Texas Tech, although they execute well, they're a team that's all about hitting that home run. You know, big plays on offense, big plays on defense. They have two excellent edge rushers. Their front is as good of a front, that I can think of in all of college football. They got two huge monuments in the middle of their defense that are almost impossible to move with two speed guys, and that sets everything up. But the point is, this is a heck of a game. It's the biggest game, I think, in Lubbock, Texas in, 15 years. A long time. And so it's going to be electric. The atmosphere is going to be phenomenal. And these two teams are going to, kind of contrasting styles. One with a lot of, speed and power and execution with BYU, and a lot of speed and explosiveness with Texas Tech. And we'll see which style comes out. But the good thing, what I love about the playoff system is, although this is a big game for both teams, it's not a do or die game. Both these teams can kind of lose this game, overcome it, finish the season strong, and then they're probably going to be in the championship again to play it off to go into the playoffs. So what's great about college football now is everything literally is going to be played out on the field starting this weekend here with BYU, one of the biggest games they've had in a long time, and also with Texas Tech. So it's going to be exciting, but I'm looking forward to seeing how this pans out. It's going to be real fun.
College football is in such a great state, Brady Papenga. Let's close it here. If I took Ohio State out of the mix, for most people, they're in a tier to themselves. Is there a program or two, aside from the Buckeyes, that you would feel pretty good about thinking, predicting could win the whole thing this year?
Oh, man, that's a – Indiana is like everybody's sexy choice, right, because they got into Autzen Stadium up there in Eugene and beat this supposedly unbeatable Oregon team that came off the hills of beating a supposed – unbeatable Penn State team that ended up actually being a disaster. So it's so hard to say. This is the hardest. To me, college football is the hardest because there is so much hype that's given around every single weekend's win. It's in the NFL. It doesn't shift as much. And it's because I do believe because of the old tradition that, every week used to mean something in the sense of the poll. Because you had to press the voters, which is stupid. Why are we having voters vote on good or bad teams? It's pretty dumb. But anyway, that's why the system's changed. Now with the playoffs, we have the benefit of this is all going to get played out. But if I just had it, just throwing it out there, boom, just trying to go out of here, I really like, so you got Ohio State, Indiana is probably the thing that I just hesitate about Indiana is they just haven't been tested, in my opinion, in a high stakes game. You know what I'm saying? So that one's a tough one. And then, you got your SEC teams. Oh, man. Because you got Alabama. Everybody likes to, kick them around. Ole Miss is the sexy one right now. Oh, there's really not. As I think about their bill, I can't really think of one that I would say, with 100% confidence. And this is a good thing, ladies and gentlemen. Why? There's finally parity in college football. Finally. There's some parity here. And so that's what's exciting. It's going to be one of those things we're going to learn a lot about these teams in this month of November. That's what's exciting to me.
It is such a – I'm with you, dude. It's such a great state for college football. And I think we all agree across America, everything is enhanced by your positivity for the Bears, even when it just is a non sequitur. My dude. Thanks, Freddy Vega. Dude, it's always good talking to you, pal.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. I'm telling you the truth there. You know I'm not going to sugarcoat.
I know.
If they're terrible, they're terrible. I'm not just trying to make you feel happy. It just so happens they're good. So, heck.
Dude, it's
a good thing.
No, you don't pull punches, which is why I'm, again, holding back dude tears here. I'm very excited about the words that you have spoken to me.
Always good, man. Always good there, Billy. Appreciate
you,
my buddy. Man.
Yeah, I appreciate you, brother. Brady Papenga on the show. Great guy, friend of mine. Super Bowl champion, calls it like he sees it, thinks Penn State was a joke, thinks the Bears are really good. Did you hear that, Ryan? Just trying to make sure that you're paying attention.
I mean, I can't disagree this year.
Yeah. And he also thinks the Colts are a cute little story and they're not going to win anything.
That one I have a little bit of an issue, more issue with.
I'm just trying to make sure that you're up to date on what he's saying.
Listen, I'm listening with both ears, and unfortunately, I heard some things I didn't like.
Does Ryan Hickey, that's you, have an alter ego? No, he doesn't. Does a surprise NFC North quarterback basically go full Batman in games? Apparently, he does. And it's coming up next on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Packers is my team.
By the way, you and I are 100% aligned, and I always love it, Ryan, when you come on and you say without knowing that you're saying it, Bill is right and Ryan is wrong.
You're righter than them. Come on, man.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. What a song, by the way. Florence and the Machine, is that?
Look at you. Musical savant.
Got there.
This could have been writer in the machine if you chose musician as an actor 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes
ago. These puns are here forever. Be different. You like that?
I do like that.
That hits you. Tickle the old tickle bone? What am I trying to say?
The funny bone.
Funny bone. Tickle bone.
You tickle the funny bone?
Funny bone. Wow, we've digressed. You know what? Let's just move on. Let's just awkwardly sashay into buy or sell, my friend.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
Sashay. Look at, I mean, you are quite.
Buy.
I got a vocabulary.
Quite the word. What'd you say before? Something with an E? Describing yourself?
Debonair.
Oh, debonair, not E. Yes, thank you. Debonair.
It rhymes with E. We're so close.
Look at this show. Just whew. High IQ, Bill. Well, at least for one of us. We won't name names, though.
Please continue, Einstein.
yesterday, Bill, Vikings quarterback J.J. McCarthy revealed that he does not have a great vocabulary, but instead, no, he has an alter ego. Take a listen.
I feel like I do. Yeah, there's definitely a level of a switch that gets flipped. You know, for me, it's, you know, that I call him Nine. Nine comes out and I got to understand, like, okay, he can't be at his peak performance throughout 3.5 hours. So how do I find little ways, you know, on the sideline, you know, get back to my breath, get back to my visualization that could kind of maintain that intense, you know, competitive stamina throughout the whole game. But yeah, it's just, you know, the pure will, determination to get the job done.
Buy or sell, Bill. You feel more encouraged that J.J. McCarthy will become a franchise quarterback after hearing that.
I mean, I'm going to buy, but...
Buy.
Buy or sell, that sounds psycho a little bit.
Buy.
I mean, that's a little... Buy or sell, you like my Batman imitation.
Buy.
Where's Nine?
That is real weird, and I love everything about it.
Imagine he also did that, but like to like the defensive back, like he just burns, I don't know, number two for the other team.
Where's number two? Number nine in the house.
Also, he said he can't do it for 3.5 hours. Does this explain why he has these bursts of... So he went full Batman against my Bears? I didn't know. I knew we lost to J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings early in the season. I didn't know we lost to...
Number nine, Batman.
What the hell, dude?
Which explains why for 3 quarters is just J.J. McCarthy. In the 4th quarter, you lost to Batman.
What the actual hell is going on? Yeah, it does make me kind of respect him and like him.
How about that? Bears fan liking a Vikings quarterback, just like we all thought. Someone who's not Batman, Bill, is Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray. And yesterday, the team placed him on IR as he recovers from a foot injury. Now, Murray will miss at least the next 4 games, but is expected to return at some point this season. Now, this does come just days after a report that Murray was very close to playing in Monday's win over the Cowboys and even had a role carved out for before that did not happen. Buy or sell, you think this IR stint is more about Jacoby Brissett playing well than it is Kyler's health?
Buy.
Buy.
I think it's about the health of the Arizona Cardinals and their belief that that is enhanced by Kyler not being the starting quarterback right now. Kyler, they're not in a hurry.
Bye.
And now especially not in a hurry. 4 games. Take a month off, buddy.
Take
your
time. You're good, pal. Enjoy your time off, amigo.
Week 10 in the NFL, Bill, kicks off tonight with an AFC West battle as the Broncos host the Raiders. Denver comes into this game ranked third in the league in total defense, but they have struggled to force turnovers. They have just so far 4 interceptions on the season. Geno Smith, on the other side, has not struggled with turning the ball over. He is tied for the most interceptions thrown in the season so far with 11. Buy or sell, the Raiders will have more turnovers than touchdowns in tonight's game.
That's very funny. It's a good question. I'm not calling it bad. It's a hard question.
That's what we do here. Put you on the spot. Make you think.
I'll buy.
Buy.
Buy or sell your own question that you think the Raiders will have more turnovers as well.
Buy.
What an indictment that feels like a fairly comfortable call.
Which means Geno's thrown for 300 yards, 3 100%. Touchdowns, and the Raiders are 100%. Winning tonight.
Congratulations, you've won the whole thing. Or at least this. Buy or sell that if the Raiders win tonight, I should overreact in going at the Broncos.
Buy.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to say for a second, overreact and be like, the Raiders are real. Watch out. No one wants to play this team the rest of the year.
No. I mean, more just I am Broncos skeptical. By the way, they're going to win tonight, and everyone's going to get in my, you know, mention. Oh, it showed you. You're an idiot. When they win playoff games, or game maybe, then you can clap at me. I don't believe in them as a playoff team.
If we're sitting here tomorrow morning talking about a 17-13 Raiders win in which the Broncos offense struggles, you already said basically you think you want to go out on the Broncos. Will we hear the words from you, fire Sean Payton?
I mean, sell.
Sell.
I don't think he's a terrible coach. I just don't think he is the celebrated master of greatness everyone claims that he is. I do not think he is Pete Carroll. I do not think he is Andy Reid. I do not think he is Jim Harbaugh. I think he's the guy that coached Drew Brees to a single Super Bowl win. And as you know, I hold Brees in incredibly high regard and think his career underperformed his level of excellence in large part because of his organization. I mean, for Sean Payton, things were too much of a breeze.
Sell.
Oh, I mean, that's amazing. Bye. That is ridiculous that you sold that. I am extremely disappointed in you.
There's the reaction I was hoping to get. That's very funny. That was very good.
I mean, what are we doing here?
Speaking of the man.
Talk to me.
Drew Brees. He's back, Bill. As The Athletic broke the news yesterday that Drew Brees has been signed by Fox to be a game analyst starting next week. This is not going to be Brees' first foray into the booth, as he was both an NFL and Notre Dame game analyst at NBC, neither of which was well received. Buy or sell, you were excited to hear Drew Brees call games this season.
You know what, buy.
Buy.
I think we're aligned. I'm not sure. I don't care as much about who's calling these games as other people. I don't understand why you would pay Tony Romo or Tom Brady or anyone that kind of money. I think it's a huge waste of money. You think I'm not watching the game if Greg Olson's calling the game? I watch the games when Tony Kornheiser and Rush Limbaugh watch the games. Still watch the games. I did the other day. I was watching Barcelona play soccer, and Casey Keller, you don't know who that is, was so bad calling the game that I did switch to the Spanish version. I don't even speak Spanish. And my wife goes, oh, my God, that's so much better. So I can hit a mute button from time to time, but I'm not going to turn games off I'm watching. But I'm interested because I do think Drew Brees, it's not easy to do television or talking for a living. It's people think you just go and you do it. It's not the way that it works. And you need time. And most people, myself included, who have done this for a living, get to fail without people paying attention for a while. Drew Brees didn't have that benefit, right? And it compounds and it gets in your head, I'm sure. I'm glad he gets another chance, and I think he has a chance to be really good. Buy or sell, you actually care that much about who's calling the games.
Buy.
Come on. No, you don't.
In this sense, like, look, I love the Mets. When they're on Sunday Night Baseball, I'm pissed because I don't want to listen to those guys on Sunday Night Baseball. They're terrible. Football's, I think they're, for the most part, they are pretty good. Like, I'm never turning off a game because of who's calling it. And I agree with you. I don't get the appeal around Tony Romo. I don't get the appeal around Tom Brady in the sense of paying all these guys a gajillion dollars to call a game. They don't even do a good job at it. But, like, I can't sit here and pretend like, oh, man, like, so-and-so is calling the game. Like, either this is, you know, I think it is indicative of the importance of the game. You know, if I'm watching a Colts game next week and all of a sudden it's Jim Nance and Tony Romo, I'm like, okay, this is a big game. People are actually taking the Colts seriously. If I got the D squad.
Come on. You care?
I do care.
Why?
Because I also care about a lot of things I shouldn't. I care about uniforms way more than I should.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm not watching the game to listen. I need announcers when the games are bad or not interesting. You can make a much more compelling case that it matters more in baseball or basketball, and it doesn't. But you can make that. The football sells itself. I'm already in.
I'm watching, but it doesn't mean I can't be.
By the way, tonight's game, give me the greatest announcing crew in history. Like, I like Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. You know, whatever. You have your own view. I think they're really good. I think they're good. They could be on that. I don't care who's on it. The greatest announcer in history could be on tonight's game. If Denver wins 9-3, nothing's going to change. You think I go back and go, man, in retrospect, holy cow, that Patriots win over the Rams 12-6 was a classic because the call and the field goal's good. I mean, no, dude, none of it matters. You just hit a nerve for me. I didn't even know this was a nerve.
Let's go. That it? You want to keep going? The floor.
Yeah, no. Okay. Keep it moving. Keep it rolling. Let's. I'm here for it.
Let's talk some pucks, Bill. We had history in the NHL last night. Alex Ovechkin.
Wait, say that again. Talk some what?
Pucks.
That's an expression.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Grab some pucks. I'm not a hockey guy.
Now you are. Now you can start saying that. I gotta get into it. Let's talk some pucks. They'll like it. Ovi became the first player in NHL history to score 900 career goals. But let's talk about what happened after he scored, Bill. In an interesting move, Blues goalie Jordan Binnington, the man who allowed the goal, was caught on video stuffing the historic puck down his pants in an apparent attempt to keep it before the referee caught him and confiscated the puck, eventually returning to Ovi. By yourself, this is a bad look for Jordan Binnington.
I don't even care.
What do you mean you don't care?
I mean, I don't care!
So this is another thing I care about more than maybe I should. Do you care about, like, historic moments and like the ball? Like, if someone hits a 700th home run, do you care who
has
the ball?
It's fine. Well, here's the thing. I think it's obnoxious when teams, this is sort of different, I think it's incredibly obnoxious when teams pressure fans into giving stuff up. Barry will give you a bat and a lukewarm high five if you hand over his 70th home run ball that is worth $2 million. No, man, it's mine. I'm keeping it. Hell no. I'm still mad about your announcer take. I'm down in your announcer take. All right, yeah, bye. It's a bad look.
Bye.
Also, pants? Really?
Well, where are you going to put it?
Just keep it in your fist. Throw it into the... I don't know. Not your pants.
Well, if you're a goalie, you need both of your hands free to block and catch and hold the stick.
Just give him the puck.
Eventually he did. Eventually he did.
Oh, shocker.
How about this, Bill?
Talk to me.
We'll end here.
Okay.
Maybe.
Oh, no, maybe not.
We'll see how worked up we get you.
Okay.
College football podcasting superstar, friend of the show, Josh Pate, was on Bussin' with the Boys, and he dropped this bomb about a potential big-time head coach leaving their current job for maybe a current open job. Take a listen.
Do you have any feeling on any of these job openings right now?
Yeah. So just put this on your radar. Let's just keep an eye on Lincoln Riley at USC.
And that was it. No other context provided. Keep an eye on Lincoln Riley at USC. Buy or sell.
Wow.
The most likely landing spot for Lincoln Riley, if he was to leave USC this offseason, would be LSU.
Okay, I'm going to buy this, but let me preview my own preview off of the Josh Pate preview. Lincoln Riley was a massive success in the Big 12. Lincoln Riley went to the Big 10 and failed if he gets fired from this job. You think Lincoln Riley is going to a full-born SEC experience and he's succeeding? Sell.
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 All right, here's my next one. Buy or sell, given what I just said, that the right move would be a trade where USC trades with Clemson for head coaches.
Wow.
Little switcheroo. Swap-a-doo.
Wow.
Lean into it. Push that buy button.
You know,
sell.
We agree Dabo's got to go somewhere else.
But you're more bullish on Dabo than I don't. I right now don't buy Dabo could go anywhere else and win. I think what you're seeing at Clemson, you'd see anywhere else.
A reset, a little humility.
Do you think
Lincoln
this can
Riley
happen,
doesn't though? Have to coach in a real conference?
That Lincoln Riley's going to benefit, I think, going to the ACC.
Yeah.
Clemson would be, I think, a bigger winner than USC would be.
Buy or sell that you would have some legitimate concerns about Lincoln Riley in the SEC?
Buy.
Yeah, a million gabillion percent. Buy or sell you'd want Lincoln Riley at the Nittany Lions?
Sell.
Oh, you can have him.
No, thank you.
Get riled up.
I hate to say this. It's going to sound like kind of one of those macho men, but it's true. He's soft. That's what it comes down. Like, he makes an excuse for everything. Even, we didn't talk about this on Monday. I didn't bring it to your attention, but I did see it after he beat Nebraska. He was joking, but kind of serious about how the Big Ten game a favor, and now USC is playing a short week. They're playing a Friday
Trust
night
me.
Game this week. And he goes, oh, man, the Big Ten really helped us out here. We go from this game to a Friday night game. The guy's soft.
This is a place where he has a lot in common with Dabo. It's always someone else's fault. It's always someone else to blame. It's always something else that's going on. How about as the coach, you just figure it the heck out and stop making excuses? Here's something I learned. I'm going to go there. Here's something that I learned as a dad. Is that your bad habits, what you emulate, what you put in the universe, what you do in front of your kids impacts how they are. And nobody's perfect. I mean, you know, like, I see habits sometimes in my kids where I think that's on me. That's 1,000% true for coaches. When you make excuses, when you act petulant, when you're put out, when you blame the schedule, when you exhibit weakness in advance, when you don't take responsibility, that gets passed. And by the way, when I'm an idiot, I was about to say I don't have a press conference to do it into a microphone, but some of you that listen to this 10 hours a week may disagree. But generally speaking, it's not like, is this on?
Today, I cut off 3 people and gave them the bird, even though it was my fault.
I don't do that. Lincoln Riley does do press conferences. And so his players know exactly what's going on. Not only are you right that he's soft, buy or sell you agree with me that it has a huge impact on his team's performance, on his players.
Buy.
Yeah, you loser. Got me fired up.
Let's go. Come on. Let's end there.
Love it. I love everything about it. You did it. I believe in you.
I'll save you a Russell Westbrook question for tomorrow, maybe.
Okay.
Fire
is that
there.
It? Is that where we're at? That's all of it?
We'll end right here, yes.
That's the move.
I'm afraid if I ask you this next question, it's going to send you on a 5-minute diatribe, and we're going to really be in a hellhole.
Okay. Tomorrow. Is it bum of the week territory?
24-hour. You know, depending on how you feel about it, it definitely could be bum of the week material.
Okay. I'm excited about that, and I'm excited to go over some of these teams that have got off to a surprising start halfway through this NFL season and tell you which one are a bunch of fakers, Colts. We'll find out after a sports flash from Pete McCarthy.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Bill. Progressive Commercial Insurance protects small businesses with affordable coverage options. Quote today at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Cowboys defensive end Marshawn Nealand died this morning at just 24 years old. Frisco police said that Nealand was found deceased of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Troopers had been pursuing Nealand after he was involved in a crash on Dallas Parkway. Nealand was a second-round pick of the Cowboys in 2024. He just scored a touchdown on Monday night, recovering a blocked punt in the end zone. A massive fire destroyed a home owned by Heat head coach Eric Spoelstra. The home was unoccupied when the blaze began around 4:30 a.m. Spoelstra and the Heat were flying back from Denver, landing a little after 5 o'clock a.m. Bo Nix and the Broncos looking to run their winning streak to 7 tonight against the Raiders.
We've heard a lot about the win streak, but we're not even really, you know, thinking about that because we have so many things that we want to correct, and we feel like we haven't even played a complete game offensively, much less, you know, as a team.
The Broncos sit in first place in the AFC West, 1 game ahead of the Chargers. They're 2 up on the Chiefs. Only 1 NBA game tonight. The 3-5 Suns are hosting the 3-4 Clippers at 9 Eastern. I'm Pete McCarthy.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life. The easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. What is available in every state on the free Odyssey app and elsewhere is this show on Ryan Hickey. Ryan _ Hickey, the number 3. Ryan, I'm sort of thinking your Colts are a bunch of posers. bunch of pretenders, a bunch of losers wrapped in a winner's record. Okay, that's a little strong. I don't actually necessarily entirely feel that way. But the Daniel Jones conundrum, and Brady Papinga talked about this. Now Brady was a little off. Daniel Jones has played in two playoff games back in the day at the Giants, and he won one of those games and lost the other. Didn't play great. Wasn't awesome. I just don't trust Daniel Jones, and I think you have to have a quarterback in those moments. Derek May is totally untested, right, in these sort of situations. If you go to the same record, the 7-2 Patriots, I do trust that team more. It doesn't mean that I think they're going to win, and I think they both have a lot to prove. But I would have more confidence, as crazy as this sounds, in Derek May than I would in Daniel Jones.
Drake May.
Drake May. Did I say Daniel? What did I say?
Derek May. Do you know a Derek May?
No. I know a Derek who pissed me off in tennis 4 days ago.
Still on the mind.
I'm still mad about it, Derek. There are some prove-it games. Well, for the Colts, it's one prove-it game, right? They actually have a relatively easy schedule. They have a sandwich schedule. They've gone in the front and the back end, winnable games with the Falcons and Texans. The Chiefs are the big one. And that is a game where and it's in Kansas City. It's at Arrowhead, where I'm willing. And not only that, the fact the Chiefs are 5-4, to me, does not mean it's not a test for the Colts. It enhances the test. It's a do-or-die moment. It's a feels almost like a playoff game for Kansas City. You need to start winning these games, and they tend to. So that's a big, 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 big prove-it moment for Indianapolis. What is your confidence level that they win that game? Because they win that game, they're 9-2. Let's just give them the win over the Falcons. They beat Kansas City. Oh, okay, I stand corrected. I apologize. I'm wrong. Maybe like last year's Commanders, this ain't an illusion. And the, not zero, but lack of playoff experience for your quarterback is, and Jaden Daniels was awesome last year, right? It was a revelation. A little different, I think, than non-Derek Jones. Gosh, Derek, I'm not there yet and believe in the Colts. And this last weekend's game and the turnovers and the way that the QB played is a big part of the reason why.
To answer your question, my confidence level going to that game right now, 3 weeks out, is about 30%.
Yeah, that's
35%.
And the Patriots aren't really going to be tested a lot. I don't know. Is Tampa Bay a test? They're playing at Tampa Bay. Test-ish.
Yes, I would think so.
But if they lose and they play well, this guy's not falling. And then you have Jets to win. Then you have Bengals. That's a win. Then wow. You have Giants.
Oh,
that's
my goodness.
A win. Yeah. Now, you close. And at this point, you're going to probably be close to knowing whether you're a playoff team or not. You close with Bills-Ravens. It's coming. It's just coming later in the game, later in the process.
And that Bills game, depending on how, if both teams continue the way they're going, could be for the division right there.
You also still have the Jets and the Dolphins at the end. You have a lot of guaranteed wins.
They have a very easy schedule.
The division's bad.
And you know what? To their credit, you know what good teams do, Bill? They beat bad teams consistently. That's what the Patriots have done.
When is the last time that division was similar to the AFC West, even, which has three good teams in it, or the NFC North, which if you believe Brady Papinga has four good teams in it? AFC East
I think you got to go back to 2008 when the Patriots won 11 games when Tom Brady tore his ACL and they still missed the playoffs.
Right.
That year?
But that was the Matt Castle year. That was not right. To your point, it still didn't have Tom Brady in it. So I know they won 11, but it's kind of like, eh.
So if you want to talk about full health, really good teams.
Was that the Mark Sanchez, part of the Mark Sanchez run?
No, that was the Brett Favre year, I believe, top of my head.
Oh, you're right.
And then Mark Sanchez came in 2009, and as a rookie went to the AFC title game.
Went to back-to-back AFC championship games. Yeah, nothing sorted happened with Brett Favre during that run. There's nothing that maybe clouded my memory in non-football ways.
It's quite the run there for Brett.
I have a picture in my mind now of that amazing run.
Yeah.
Anybody else that you want to put on this still has to prove it list, even though they've been playing really well?
Yeah. I'm going to call them your team, Brady's team, the Packers. Their record is fine, 5-2.
Really?
And this is a team with all the talent they have. When they got Micah Parsons ripped up the board in terms of, you know, Super Bowl contenders, Super Bowl odds. And we were talking about a team that has tied the Cowboys. Like you said before, I agree, it's a loss. You lose to the Browns, and you lose to the Panthers at home, no disrespect to Carolina. It is concerning if you're Brady that, like, yeah, maybe they get intoxicated by their own, you know, great play. Maybe, like, every 2 or 3 weeks they got to get humbled. That's concerning.
Let me add, and maybe even put above that quickly, last 60 seconds, the Steelers. They've won by a net total of 7 points.
Wow.
They've won games. They're winning games. Good job. Great job. It's not that I don't believe you. It's that I'm just not sure, and I still need you to prove it. All right. By the way, I started watching the Fantastic Four last night, right? Came out on Disney. Really want to like it. Really want the Marvel movies to be good. Really like the actors. I think it might be bad. I'm only halfway through it. So I'm not recommending that you watch it, Ryan.
Okay. No, I'll write that down. Do not watch.
How's your review going? What show are you going to watch for us?
Stranger Things.
How's that going?
Really good.
We'll do it tomorrow.
It's strange.
We're going to do a review of episode one of Stranger Things tomorrow because the final season comes out later this month. Ryan Hickey will not fail you. I'm Bill Ryder, and we all look forward to that and many of the things tomorrow here on Ryder Than You.